It is a privilege to be with y'all. This is it's only the second time I've been able to visit, and so I'm thankful for the opportunity. When preachers mention we'd like you to pray for us, that's not just filling up the time so we can check the boxes. We know we're supposed to. No, seriously, this is a team sport, right? I have to do the out loud part, but silently, you need to be praying both for me, the Lord will bless me, and then he'll bless you. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Y'all all have problems. And it's easy to allow those things to get into your mind right now, whether it's something that hurts or something you've got to deal with or something that's going to happen Monday at work. Those are not what you need to focus on in this moment. Right? You could be distracted by those. You could allow them to even hinder you from coming out to the Lord's house at all. But you've made a good choice. You've done the needful thing. You're here. Now don't waste the opportunity. So be praying for me, be praying for you, be praying for one another. This is team sport. So we're going to be looking into the Lord's word this morning. And what I really just want to kind of grapple with, and I'll say that word grapple because I've got so many different things I'd like to talk about, and I don't know if I'll get to probably hardly any of them. But the question is, do you want to walk closer with the Lord? Amen. I hope the answer is yes. All right, that's I'm pretty sure I know my audience. You want to walk closer with the Lord. And there are aspects about our daily life and our physical selves and our the temptations and all the different things that we interact with that hinder that. And so my main goal this morning is to encourage you. In the course of that, I may challenge you, I may convict you, I may do a lot of other things, but guess what? That's part of the job, all right? If there's anything I say that's from God's word, you can take it up with the author. I'm just relaying it. And so what I'd like to start with is the idea of what are you desiring? What are you desiring? Psalm 37 and verse 4. I'm going to flip there. We can look at it. I'm going to be all over the place, but that's a good one to start and look at. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, folks who want to take scripture out of context, say, look, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. All I have to do is delight in the Lord. I'll check that box, and then, whoo, here comes my Lamborghini. Y'all think that is at all what the psalmist is writing? No. You think that's what God by the Holy Spirit is intending? No. What do our hearts need to be fixated on desiring, on yearning for? The Lord himself. And if you do, he'll give you more of himself. That thing you're supposed to be desiring, what you're delighting in. And so this morning, I want to... y'all ever have instruments you've been working with and you realize they're just kind of off, right? Boys and I, our deacon allowed us to borrow his rifle. Had a scope. We don't own one with a scope, and we took it out to test it out, and it was about a foot low from where you were putting it. I was like, okay, so we dialed it in a little bit. We needed to recalibrate that tool so it could work function. We need to recalibrate our lives pretty much on a daily basis, all right? Here's the standard. Here's the level. We want to make sure the bubble's right, right? And working on your level. This is what we go to. Now, Amos 3:3, you don't have to turn there. You know it. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
No.
Right? Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. If the goal is to walk closer with the Lord, who do you think is going to have to do some changing? It ain't him. Now, I am talking to born-again believers. I know that as a dead man and trespasses and sins, you cannot change yourself to desire the Lord. You have no desire. You're at enmity. We're not talking about that. I am talking about born again, children of God. You now have a desire for the Lord. You love the Lord, and you want to love him more, all right? So, you know, Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, and I change not, right? That is one of the beautiful features about God is he does not change. Those promises that he makes to you, about how long he's loved you and how long he's gonna love you. Aren't you glad that that doesn't change? I sure am. Man, if God was as fickle as we are, and how short-tempered we can be and write people off when they've done us wrong, oh me, there would not be much comfort. But he does not change, and I want to walk closer to him, and so I've got to get closer to what does he desire? What pleases him? Where do I need to recalibrate my life to be more in line with the Lord? I've been doing a study through Romans and the expression about yielding. Are you yielding yourself to God? Yielding your members as servants of righteousness, to righteousness unto holiness. There is an element about us where we have to make choices today. How am I going to use this body that I've been given? The mind, the intellect, the resources, my time. How am I going to use that today? And it is easy to get our calibration, our priorities out of whack. The things that we think are so important, and maybe they're not quite as important as we make them out. Okay? So, in James, you don't have to turn there, but James 4, we have the expression about drawing nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Wrapped around that is this language about pride, right? To the Lord, does the Lord care for pride in his people? Is that ever mentioned in a positive context? No, it's not. The admonition for us is always to humble ourselves, right? You humble yourself, right? That's who he lifts up. That's who he exalts. We humble ourselves. Now, is the Lord completely capable of humbling you without you doing it on your own? Oh, yes, and it is not pleasant. The admonition is for you to voluntarily humble yourself, because when you're humbling yourself, who are you yielding to? To God, right? Right, team sport, right? We're yielding to God. He's the authority. His word goes. What he wants is more important than me. And so if you want to walk closer to the Lord, and I want to walk closer to the Lord, the first place I've got to go check is my pride. You say, well, that's not very fun, preacher man. This is something I struggle with. All right? I was a smart kid. Grades came easy. Pretty much whatever I touched, it was going to be fine, right? I didn't get my first C until I was in law school. And that's because my oldest son was born and we were just trying to survive. But it was very and is very easy for me to get wrapped up in myself, to get conceited, and to feel like I've got it all figured out. Maybe I don't have that problem. But based on the volume in which pride is talked about in the Bible, I think it's a fairly common issue among the Lord's people, right? Of that we get to the point, for whatever reason, and we start suddenly thinking that we're in charge of our own lives. Now, are we responsible for our choices? Sure. But who has the authority? God. Well, what if it's just the way I've always done it? Isn't that going to fly? Well, that's just the way I am. Who made you? How about anger? I've just got a bad temper and I can't. Oh. Does your wrath work the righteousness of God? It does not. And you say, okay, well, we understand that in theory, but in day-to-day life, am I really looking and seeing, am I submitting my whole life to the authority of God, and particularly in his word? As long as I think my opinion is more important than God's, guess what I'm wrapped up in? Pride. All right? So the humble man comes to the Lord and, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I have, I recognize that you've given me everything I have. I have no hope from salvation apart from you. You're the one. You're the man. Let me draw closer to you. How do you want to use me in your kingdom? That's a good question to ask, all right? There are more roles in the kingdom than preachers or deacons, right? That's not it. You all have an opportunity to serve the Lord today. Right? Raising children, mothers, wow, what an important role, right? The world is not going to give you the encouragement and the idea is that the value of being a godly mother in the home and investing and pouring into your children, the world's not going to encourage that, right? They say, that's a waste of time. Well, why aren't you out in your career doing these other things? Men, right? You can only work so many hours in a day, right? How much is it worth selling your time if you're never home with the children, with your wife, right? Investing in these families. This is who the Lord has given you to have leadership over, as heads of households, fathers, husbands. You've got to be there both to teach verbally and to model it. It's one thing to say it, but if you're not living it out, family is important. We're going to come and we're going to come to the house of the Lord, except for I'm making choices that don't reflect those teachings, then, oh, I come through as hollow, right? So, my motivation for serving the Lord can't be I'm going to get something out of it, right? Because that's sometimes we kind of treat the Lord like a genie or like a contract. Well, if I do this, then you'll do that, right? Something you've surely never said that. Lord, if you just give me this good grade on this test, then I will. Not a wise practice. Right? One, you're making vows, and the Lord talked about that. Just let your yes be yes or your no be no. But the idea is that he doesn't owe you anything. Your duty is to be obedient. Period. Full stop. Now, does he bless you abundantly above what you deserve? Yeah. You know why? Because he loves you and because his grace is amazing. Hey, we have a song about that, right? And yet sometimes we sing, oh, amazing grace. Or the pop stars singing about, oh, amazing grace. And then they get that part about a wretch like me, and they make that wretch sound like, that's just a wonderful thing. A wretch is an awful thing. But that's what he loved. He loved us. He commended his love to us when you were yet sinners. This is the grace that's bestowed upon you, this grace that showed you every day. And so humbling ourselves before the Lord, this is so important. All of my preconceived notions, whatever it is that I've been built up to, I've got to then go filter it through and see if it's truly there in God's Word. Because guess what? We're all carrying around some humanistic baggage. All right? That's just doctrines of men, teachings of men. That's what doctrine means, instruction. Teachings of men that don't really pan out in Scripture. And so, which is more important? Finding what the truth of God says or what I already think? So humility. You want to draw closer to the Lord, you got to start with humility. All right? Well, what else? This may be very obvious to you. You have to desire to interact with the Lord. Do you want to walk closer to the Lord? Well, you got to desire to interact with him. I have a close relationship with my father. We used to work together at the same trucking company. It was great. It was like a multi-building campus. And so he was in the next building. Coffee pot was near my office. So three or four times a day, he's coming by and get a cup of coffee. And he would come and he'd stop at my door and we'd have 3 or 4 minute conversations. Now, since I moved to Tifton, we don't get to do that. But guess what I do? I call him. Why? Because I like to interact with him. Because I care about him. Because I want to, you know, have that relationship. All right. So when you want to interact with the Lord, what do you do? Come on. You pray! Well, pray is just praying. That's something I'm not good at, or it's not something I'm regular about, or it's when I'm really sleepy. Like, how pleased would your parents be if you called them and you were half asleep and you're not listening to what you're saying? Would they feel very loved? Would they be a little irritated? Prayer is not an afterthought. It's not a box you check. This is your opportunity to talk to the God of the whole universe. Anybody got the president's personal phone number? King of England? Insert other important political sovereign around here. They don't want to talk to me. If I got put on the wait list, they wouldn't pick up. But you have a direct line that's always open. I can't even call my bank after like 6. All the time, you have the ability to speak to the God of this universe, who's told you how much he loves you and is looking forward to your call, if you want to express it that way. You can come boldly into his throne room. Y'all remember Esther, right? She had a husband, and the room rules about going into the throne room were a little tense, right? If you were not invited and you came into his throne room, this is the Persian Empire, and he didn't stick out the golden scepter to you and say, oh, okay, you're welcome. If he didn't do that, you're put to death. That's not the scenario. That's not the scenario we're in. You get to boldly walk into the throne room of God in the spirit, in your prayer, and be heard, to have your petitions heard, to have your thanksgivings received. We treat prayer way too lightly. This is such a blessing. I mean, how often could the high priest under the Old Testament model go into that spot on the mercy seat, you know, on top of the ark, behind the veil, where God said, this is where I'm going to dwell among you. How often could he come in? Just once a year. And he better have some blood with him from a sacrifice, because otherwise he's going to die. He's disobeyed. He did not have open access. And yet you do. Right? Paid for you by the way of Jesus Christ. All right? He's the way. That's why you're standing there on the merits of Jesus Christ. And so you're accepted, not because you're worthy to be there on your own. We know on our own we're not worthy. But because of him, we are. All right. So, desire and interact with the Lord, that means prayer needs to be something that we put effort into, that we desire, that we're looking forward to it, that we're making time. Okay, anybody ever had a meeting with somebody, you know, business meeting, and they say, hold on, I'm going to close the door. What has that just told you? That person is very interested in what you're about to say, and we're not going to be interrupted. Maybe they have a secretary, hold my calls, right? Put your cell phone on silent, right? They are blocking out a time and a space to interact with you, all right? Do you block out a time and a space to interact with the Lord? What do you think the admonition about going into your closet is? You're less likely to be interrupted in your closet. You're by yourself. Now, do you literally have to go into your closet? Most of us have junk full of our closets. Couldn't even get in there. But the point is to go somewhere, be on your own, turn your phone off. Oh, me, right? I think Satan knows when we're praying. And my phone blows up when I'm trying to pray. Turn the thing off. Right? Anything that's going to happen, it can wait. It can. You're doing the needful thing, interacting with your Heavenly Father. All right, so that's interacting with him. Well, that's us speaking to him. What if you want to hear him? Here you go. You have an amazing thing that for many thousands of years in here wasn't widely available, or is only to one kind of narrow sliver of the population of the world. And you pretty much had to be a priest in order to have an access to a physical copy, so you had to wait till somebody read it out loud. You have a access in text, on your phones, you can play it out loud. You want to hear God speak? Read the Bible out loud. Right? You've heard the word of God out loud when you hear the Bible spoken. This is his word. Inspired, this is what we go to. Too often, when we're trying to discern God's will, we don't go here and we just kind of go with our guts, our feelings, right? Well, I think the Lord's leading me to do this. More often than not, it's the thing you wanted to do already to begin with. And he hasn't slammed the door on your face, so it must be okay. Sometimes there's a temptation in an open door. Not every door needs to be walked through. You need to process your decisions through Scripture, through the priorities of, all right, is this going to draw me closer to the Lord? Is this going to draw me farther away? Am I going to be able to attend church or am I not? Am I going to be able to take care of the family and teach them that he's giving me, or am I not? And, you know, kind of thinking job decisions there, but anything, right? How do you make decisions? It's not just based on what you want to do, because then you're just depending on your heart. Have we learned that that's not a real reliable calibration tool? Right? Deceitful above all things. That's pretty harsh language. Okay? So we want to go to the standard, go to the level, and look at it. This is where you hear God speaking to you. All right? And you know what the Holy Ghost is more than capable of doing, being described as the Spirit of truth? reminding you later, those things that you read, hey, this verse is applicable. You need this. How often, when Jesus is describing the Comforter coming, he's basically telling the apostles, I know you don't get it all now, but later he's going to come and he's going to finish teaching. He's going to remind you of the things that I've said. Many times in my life where I can be reading something and it has seemingly no bearing to my life, and then months down the road, something else comes to you and be like, and you're like, oh, where did I haven't thought about that thing that in months, and yet here it is. Well, why is it coming up suddenly? Is it because I'm so smart? Probably not. Right? It's the Holy Spirit applying that truth to me. He's teaching me from his word. So what do you think you need to be doing? Read your Bibles, right? That's the preachers always say, read your Bibles. We want you to. It's for your good. All right? Any y'all ever been to a buffet? Sure. Right? All you can eat. Well, how much can you eat at one setting? Too much. But, no, you eat, and then you're full. And if you do that on a Sunday afternoon, what happens come Friday? If you haven't eaten since the Sunday, what happens Friday? You're starving! Your ribs are showing. You could survive that way. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. Right? You'd rather have something every day, preferably multiple times a day. That's kind of how we structure our natural diets. What do you think you need to be chewing on every day? Right? God's word. Maybe multiple times a day. Right? This is not something to get through. Right? This is, again, the whole thing is trying to change our mindset of, well, I'm reading my Bible to keep my preacher off my case so that when he asks what you're reading, I can say something. Well, that's not a real great reason, right? Or my kids, you know, what are you reading lately? They want me to stop using them in examples and pulpits. So I was the same way when I was a kid, right? I would read some, but it wasn't part of my life. It wasn't part of my routine. It wasn't part of a self-discipline. It wasn't a habit. Habits take some effort to form, right? We can get in some really bad habits, and we stick with those, but when it comes to doing something that's meaningful and good, well, I read one time and I didn't understand it, and so I'm just done. Or I was tired and I didn't understand it. Well, are you waiting until the last part of the day when your brain is fried before you wait to read? Right? I don't know about y'all, but when I was at work and I had a big project that was like heavy, gonna take a lot of brain power, that was what I did first thing. Because I didn't want to wait until I was already tired and wore out. You know, it's like, all right, let me jump into it. Let me get my best focus. All right, I need to pause a little bit, do something else, come back to it, right? What's worthy of your best focus? You believe me? I mean, I'm not saying anything radical that you've never heard before. I'm just trying to remind you of it. For you, it's safe, right? Well, Paul would repeat himself. If you read your Bible, you see Paul repeats himself. Paul was a praying man, right? We talked about prayer. If you read all the times he's starting his letters, at all times I am praying for you, man, he had a long prayer list of all these churches spread out all over, you know, Turkey and Greece and Rome and Italy. I mean, just, whoa. And he cared about them, and I don't think he was giving any lip service to any of them, right? Y'all be very careful with the expression, okay, I'll pray for you, and then not. You've just lied.
Right.
You've just lied about, I'm going to talk to my father about this situation, and then you don't.
Right.
That's a big deal, right? It's good to be able to tell somebody, I'll pray for you. I have a faulty memory. Occasionally, I don't remember things. You know what I like the best? If someone asks for prayer, do it right then. I don't care where you are. You can be in Target or Walmart, but let's pray right now, because then I'll know my faulty self, who can forget to take the trash out, won't forget, and you'll know that I care. As opposed to it being a throwaway thing, right? Kind of that, y'all come in, make yourself at home. We don't really mean that. We mean come in and be an appropriate guest, and then when it's time, leave. But say what you mean. And so not using those kind of throwaway language. All right. So humility, or again, what are we talking about? If you spaced out, welcome back. We are trying to draw closer to the Lord in our walk, all right? We want to be humble in our approach, right? I mean, we've got the best doctrine that teaches humility, right? Other doctrines that are, you know, works-based in any form, then I've got a little something that I can stand before God and say, well, you did a good job, but, you know, I kind of finished the box. We know by grace there ain't nothing you did to finish Jesus' work.
Right.
All right? So we can start from humility because we understand total depravity. We understand what we were by nature and what we have to battle, right? If you think that, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to have any trials or struggles with sin. One, you're delusional. But two, go read Romans 7. The Apostle Paul was just a little bit farther along in his spiritual walk than you and I, and he continued to battle with it. He's like, the things that I know I need to do, I don't habitually do them. And the things that I don't want to do, guess what I continually do? Those things. And that's an apostle whose teacher was Jesus, right? You know, to be an apostle, you have to be an eyewitness in the resurrected Christ. Jesus taught him that gospel. So he said to the Galatians, I didn't go learn it from men. Jesus taught it himself, and yet he continued to struggle. So you are going to struggle. You are going to have opportunities to fail. The difference is you are no longer a slave to sin. When you're dead in trespasses and sin, that's it, right? It's the boss. Now you have an opportunity in each one not to yield to it. Right? We talk about the Lord doesn't give you more than you can bear. It doesn't say that. He doesn't give you more than he can bear. But in any temptation, he will give you a door of escape. Right? So we need to start, you know, you get on a plane, what does a flight attendant do? Right? They're pointing out the emergency exits. You and I need to start looking for some emergency exits. When we get in situations where we know we're being tempted to do something not that we need to do, whether that's where we're around or just sometimes with our mouth. I get in a lot of trouble with what I say. That studying to be quiet admonition, I think that's in Thessalonians. That's some powerful stuff. Study to be quiet. You can't hurt people and you can't shame God by the things you didn't say. So, I don't know how I got up on that tangent. You should desire interactions with the Lord, pray. You should desire to hear from him, read. All right, and let's talk about reading a little bit. Because there is a substantive difference between reading and studying. Okay? Reading is good. Read. Studying is good too. All right? When I talk about reading, I mean, I'm sitting down and I am reading through a letter, like for reading the epistles. They're not that long. Right? If somebody's mailed you a letter today and they took the time to handwrite out a 6 or 7 page letter, are you going to open to the third page, scroll down to the second sentence, read that sentence and say, well, that's just lovely, fold it all up and said, I'll read the last, you know, next week. No, you'd read the whole thing, right? Because it flows, right? So you can see, where do we start from? Where do we end? How do we get there? Read the whole thing, which means making time for it. So just like you're making time for your prayer life, you're making time for reading. And so when I say reading, I mean like big picture reading. I want to know what's going on in the broad sense. Studying is where I want to chase some rabbits, right? You don't want preachers chasing rabbits up here, right? You want them to have studied and have a message that's ready to be delivered. Chasing rabbits means there's something I'm curious about. I got some questions. I want to find it out. Right? And so I go start digging deeper, whether that's using a word search in English, and I can go look every time the word sanctification shows up. I can look at all of them across the New Testament. We got tools that make that so easy. Whether it's going to a book or a concordance where you can see these things broken down by topic. Whether I can, you know, make an outline of a book. I mean, there's a lot of different ways in which we can study, and you're all capable of doing that. Okay? Husbands, to whom are the sisters supposed to go when they have a question? It's not him. It's you first. If y'all can't figure it out together, then go talk to your pastor. He wants to talk to you. Guess who loves to talk Bible questions? Preachers. When people are interested in the word, not when they just want to argue. Motivation, right? Well, if you want to argue, you got to go back to that pride issue, right? Go read in James about the one who's got that earthly wisdom and what comes from them, strife, contention, bitterness, right? As opposed to wisdom from above that is easy to be entreated. That means it's easy to ask you questions. So have a curiosity for God's word. Dig into it. See if you can find the answers. And then, you know, husbands, you're ready to answer your wife's questions. If y'all can't figure it out, go talk to your pastor. And then he may say, hey, the fact that you don't know this is really good information because now I know some things that I need to teach. right? You're helping him. You know that's a good thing, right? Help him because he wants to feed you. He wants you, I mean, feeding you. What is the primary diet of the sheep? The word of God, right? Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He's not talking about getting them some grass or fried chicken or the other things that we, you know, enjoy. He's talking about the real meat, the thing that you need, and teaching you the word. And so you have the right and privilege to eat and feast on the Lord's word at home, not just waiting until this one opportunity in the week. And again, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just trying to encourage you to kind of break out of some of those old rusty habits. Remember the old tin man, right? He quit moving. He got all rusted up in the rain. He needed a little oil and lubrication. All right, you're getting oiled and lubed up. It's then you go home, and then you start applying these things, right? We want to draw closer to the Lord. We need to be humble. We need to be desiring to interact with him, both in talking to him and hearing from him in his word. And then my final point, yeah, you'd be glad I looked at my watch. I have a habit of going long at home. I will be more considerate here. Is that we need to be worshipful. What do I mean by that? That means as much passion and excitement as people were hooping and hollering in all these football games over the course of this week. Why do they do that? Because they really care about it. This is important. Coming here is very important. And I see that there are 3 50-yard line tickets available here on the front row. This is where it's at. This is way more important than any of the other things that we could spend our time on, right? We get to come and lift up praises with the voices that God gave us, praising his matchless name, hearing his word preached and proclaimed, and then you being encouraged and inspired to then go throughout your rest of your work, singing and praising in your homes, reading your homes, leading family devotions, teaching there, having the opportunity to speak of the Lord in wherever you're at, right? You have the privilege to brag on your God, right? And y'all have an easy time bragging on your grandkids? I mean, they're just lovely, aren't they? I mean, the cute things that they do. And let me show you a picture, right? Not to burst your bubble, but God's better. Right. Your God is better. Your Lord Jesus Christ is better. We should be able to brag on him. You say, well, I don't know enough. Go back to part 2. Go learn. That's sorry. All right? This is wonderful news. This is wonderful information. He individually is wonderful, okay? And so we get to come to the house of the Lord. You know, I've alluded to a lot of other verses. Let's flip over to Psalm 27. I'll read that one. Psalm 27 and verse 4. I'll get a sip of water so y'all can turn. Preachers love to hear that sound. At least it means you're still paying attention. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist here desired to be in the house of the Lord. He wanted, he's seeking after it. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is our little taste of heaven, right? Heaven is going to be amazing because we're going to be able to be literally in the presence of the Lord. And we'll be able to literally behold our Lord Jesus' face and bask in his glory, this glory that Moses couldn't physically handle wrapped in a mortal body, right? That's when he had to get put in the cleft of the root. He said, God, show me your glory. God basically said, you can't handle it. I'm going to put you in this crack in the cliff. I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to let you look back and see kind of the afterglow, my hinder parts. And what did Moses' face do for the rest of his life? It glowed, right? The glory of God. You can't even imagine it. And you're going to get to be in his presence, and you will have one day glorified bodies that could withstand that. Not to mention there are no aches and pains and all the other things that kind of get us down here, but it's him. And where do you get the sharpest information about that? You come here. You listen to the word. You're praying. And the Lord is blessing you with his Holy Spirit to see by the eye of faith. This is not just your imagination, right? Imaginations can be anything you want. But when you're taking your mind's eye and you're crafting it based on, oh, this is what it says. Will it be exactly right? Probably not. It will probably be distorted in many ways, and it's going to be far better. But this is exactly right. Don't misunderstand me. But this is where we're drawing in, and we're practicing for heaven. All right? That's where we're going to be able to worship and praise perfectly. I don't think our voices are going to crack. I don't think we're going to get tired. I don't think anybody's going to be looking at their watch saying, when's this guy going to hush? Right? There are celestial creatures that are crying, holy, 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 holy. And no one's tired of it because the object of their affection is worth it. And that's who you and I get to come and worship. Remembering this is important, that I am created to worship, and the object of my worship has got to be God. It's got to be my Lord Jesus. He is the only one that's truly worthy of worship. Everything else is far, 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 far inferior. Be in the house of the Lord. That's important. And when you're here, participate. I have beautiful song service this morning. There's times I just closed my book and I was just singing with my eyes closed and just enjoying it, right? Do you know that you're not only worshiping God when you're singing, but you're also ministering to the other people around you? Yeah. That's a weighty responsibility. Well, I'm not comfortable singing. Tough? Did God call you in his service only to what you're comfortable? You find that in Scripture. Is that a standard? I'm going to lead you as long as you're comfortable. What if Jesus took that line in the garden? Well, Lord, I've gone as far as I'm comfortable. This cross thing looks mighty uncomfortable. I think I'll stop here. No, he was obedient all the way into death. Now, he's not called for your death. He's called you to be a living sacrifice, to yield yourself unto him in all things. And so if you're not comfortable singing, practice. Get comfortable. Come and sit by someone who's a really strong singer if that makes you feel better. But sing, right? It's not about creating the ideal choir here, right? We will have an ideal choir in heaven. That's going to be great. But here it's about broken sinners coming together to sing praises to their matchless Redeemer who has successfully redeemed them. You've got something to sing about. So come and sing. And when he says pray, pray, right? This is your opportunity to come, take time away from that world, right? It's there, it's dark, it's discouraged, it's broken, right? It's been broken since the garden. All the garbage that you see out there, it may be packaged just a little bit differently, but it's the same sins that have been going on since the garden, right? It's all vile, and you can't fix that. Do you know when that's going to be fixed? When all this is put away, and we'll be looking at our Lord. He's going to come back, and it's going to be fixed, right? But in the meantime, you've been charged to stand fast. Yeah. Stand fast for what's good, for what's right, for boldly proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, regardless of the circumstances, regardless about who's in power or not in power, where you're at. This is where you get to stand fast for the truth of God's words. And you get to rejoice in it because it's still true today. And you know what will be tomorrow? True. Still true. Right, because the Lord, he doesn't change. And his word doesn't change. Is there any of this, the smallest little bit, that's not going to be complete and carried out? No. This is something that you can have great assurance in. In a world where there is a lot of uncertainty and a lot of changing, isn't it nice to have something that is stable, a firm foundation, if you will, right, that's laid for us, that we can build on? It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. I thank y'all for your good attention. Thank you.
I'll say amen and amen. I don't think we can deny that that wasn't a gospel-centered message this morning, and we need that reminder as God's people. As Brother Mosley was speaking on the subject of prayer, I remember a story that my uncle told me a long time ago, and I believe it involved the church the Elder Varn Marshall pastored. He was a wonderful preacher and just an eloquent speaker, but someone had gotten sideways with him about a minister of the gospel had gotten sideways about him because he was only chosen to pray for a worship service. And ministers can get in the flesh. It can happen to any of us, but he was a little bit put out. And the pastor made the comment, or asked the question, really, which one is most important, talking to people about God or talking to God about people? Is one more important than the other one? I'll submit unto you the privilege that we have to pray unto God, to talk to God, as the brother said. I can't call the White House or Tallahassee and speak to the governor or speak to the president. And, you know, if you have to do anything at all with insurance companies, which some of y'all are very well familiar with, I can't even get a real person when I'm trying to get information on some prescription medication that I or some member of my family is supposed to take. That's just the way of the world that we live in. But 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can go to our closets, go to our quiet place, and pray into God, and He hears our prayers. You don't get the electronic, you know, press one to put on hold or whatever. You don't get AI that, you know, sounds almost human, but it's not really human. We can speak to God Himself because we have our mediator, Jesus Christ. We have that accessibility. God has given us His Word. We're blessed here with accessibility to His Word. We talked a little bit the other day just about those that are persecuted and the amount of persecution, the tens of millions of people displaced and suffer persecution because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And the accessibility that we have to a Bible, don't take that for granted. Don't take the church for granted. The freedom that we have to assemble here as God's people, it's all a blood-bought price that we enjoy. Again, I appreciate the message, brother. I feel like the Lord has blessed us. It was a needful message for us this morning. As always, we want to publish an open door to the church. If you believe what has been spoken here this morning, and if you believe God's Word, if you say you believe God's Word, God's Word tells us that if we love the Lord, that's an evidence of the Spirit of God within us, and we ought to obey the Word of God that says as God's people, we should be baptized. That's an answer, the Bible says, answer of a good conscience towards God. An act of obedience that Jesus Christ Himself did. He was baptized. And we, again, have that privilege as the Lord's people. The only fitness that He requireth is for you to feel your need of Him. And we'll give you that opportunity. Let's sing song number 211. And after that, we will have a closing prayer. But please let Brother Jonathan know how much you appreciated his message this morning. And if you would like to contribute to the ministry here, we make it convenient. You can contribute here at the under the pulpit here, or at the front of the church, you know, the back of the church, front of the church, whatever you want to call it. And that's our privilege as well. If you've been blessed spiritually this morning, I encourage you to give in a material way as the Lord leads. We'll stand and sing song number 211.